Follow the man who carries a pitcher. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open your word to us as you did it for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, our text today is from the Gospel of Mark, beginning with verse 12. The story that I'm reading to you now occurred one day before Jesus the Christ was crucified. It says, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where will you that we go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house. The master says, Where is the guest chamber? Where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Now, let us look at verse 12 again. It says, "And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" Let us observe that this passage of Scripture is a pivotal passage. It is like a hinge between the old and the new. It is like a connector between the old Jewish Passover and the new Christian Passover. It is as a hinge, a connector between the old covenant and the new covenant. Here Jesus is going to a new place, a place in which he has never worshipped before, where he's never eaten before. And in this place, two significant things occurred. And the one is that it is in this place where he would eat his first Passover of the new covenant. And secondly, it is the place in which the Church of Jesus Christ would be born. It occurred in the same room. The Church of Jesus Christ was not born in a temple, in an institution, but in a room, this room. It is in this room where Jesus gave us the words of the Holy Communion after we partake of the bread and wine, the words, "This do in remembrance of me." It is in this place where 120 disciples of our Lord got drunk with the Spirit of the Lord 40 days later. This place was hidden to Jesus and to his disciples all those years. My friend, I want to tell you, there's a place somewhere, a wonderful place somewhere for you. It would be, it could be a physical place, it could be a spiritual place, it could be a place of turnaround, a complete turnaround for you. There's a place somewhere for you that God has reserved for you to have a new beginning. A place somewhere, my friend, for you that is a bridge to a new relationship with God and with man that is yet secret to you, but it is there for you nonetheless. And in the days to come, he wants to lead you to it. Let's talk a little bit about the Passover now. One commentator says Jesus' last Passover with his disciples marks the end of the Passover feast as an institution and the beginning of a new symbolic institution to celebrate the celebration of communion. So the Passover that was instituted here on this night before Jesus was crucified, this Passover, my friend, was now no longer designed to remember the Exodus, the departure of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, but this new Passover was now instituted to cause us to remember the death of Christ, the shedding of the blood of Christ, the broken body of Christ, that was given on the cross to make it possible for us, my friend, to pass from eternal death to eternal life. So much for the main point. Now, let's look at some of the details. This was Thursday, the day of preparation of the Passover, the day before what we call Good Friday. Every Jew was celebrating the Passover feast, the Passover supper. It's been done by the Jews since the Exodus to remember their leaving Egypt. It was Thursday now, once again, the day before what we call Good Friday, the day of Jesus' crucifixion, the day to get ready for the Passover, that his disciples said, "Jesus, where are we going to have this Passover?" Because it would be their responsibility to prepare it. Please remember that at this time of the Passover, every Jew outside of Jerusalem, even in faraway lands, would try to be in Jerusalem so that the population of that city swelled many times its ordinary numbers. And you would think that there would not be a single room to be found anywhere in Jerusalem that was not reserved for this great event, for somebody. But as soon as the disciples asked Jesus the question, "Where should we go and prepare the Passover?" it says, "And Jesus sendeth forth two of his disciples, and says unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him." Despite the desperate situation of finding a room where these people could have the Passover, Jesus had a plan. Jesus always has a plan. In the most impossible situations, even then, he has a plan. Remember that. God his Father gave him the plan where to find the room for the Passover. There were not many hours left, and to get the old traditional Passover ready. Oh, my friend, can't we see that Jesus never cometh late? All over Jerusalem, there were signs on homes and motels that said, "No vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy." So, in the last minute, Jesus told his two disciples to go, and with pinpoint accuracy, he tells them how they would find a Passover room furnished with everything they needed for that supper. Now, I don't know when Jesus got the revelation that the key for finding the Passover room was a man carrying a pitcher on his head. But I surmise that it could have been that morning when Jesus met alone with God, that God revealed his plan to him. I want you, my friend, to know many revelations I get about where is what, or about who to call, or where to go, or how to proceed with my life, or how to unload my burdens, or how to receive a new vision of God. Many revelations I receive from the Lord come when I find myself alone with God in the morning. Oh, my dear, busy, busy Christian friend, I cannot imagine how many troubles and trials and burdens and cares wear you out and wear you down simply because you fail to spend that half hour or whole hour or 2 hours in the morning alone with God. Oh, if you would just do that on a regular basis, you would find that God has all kinds of chambers, all kinds of guest rooms ready and prepared for you, where you'd receive the very thing that you're looking for. Just like God gave Moses a detailed plan for the Exodus from Egypt, he gave Jesus a detailed plan about everything that he was supposed to do on the Passover day and the day preceding it and the day following it. So Jesus said to two disciples, "I want you to go and find a man who carries a pitcher on his head. Follow him." My friend, when you go where the Lord tells you to go, you will be absolutely safe and blessed every single time. Now, when you go where Jesus tells you to go, you will find fulfillment in your life. And so they went. They were told to find a man who carried a pitcher on his head. Now, you would ask, how did these disciples know which of the many men who carried pitchers in Jerusalem on their heads that day, which would be the right one to follow? Well, it's very simple. In those days, the women carried the pitchers on their heads and not the men. So if you'd ever see a man carrying a pitcher on his head, it would be the most unusual thing of the day. Somehow, there must have been some divine connection between the master of the guest chamber, the master of the upper room, and God the Father. He must have prayed that morning, even as Jesus prayed that morning, and the Lord must have told him something very unusual, like, do not send a woman to carry to bring the water that's needed for the Passover, but send a manservant to carry that water on his head to the guest chamber. Friend, this is so exciting. When we walk with God, when we are tuned in with God, life is so exciting. You never know what the Lord will do next and tell us next. And then when he tells us something, we don't know what for half the time or more. Of course, the Lord must have told the master of the guest chamber, today Jesus and his disciples will come to have the supper in your room. Oh, glory to God, I'm thrilled. Go and send a man instead of a woman to carry the water to it. When you're in touch with God, when you keep sin out of your life and live a pure, a holy life, I'll tell you, life is thrills, romance, and adventure. And your heart will become a guest chamber for the Lord Jesus as well. So, leaving Jesus, these two disciples saw this man with a pitcher, and they followed him. And he led them to the house where the guest chamber was all prepared for the very first Lord's Supper, the very room in which soon after that the power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon the church. So, my friend, I'll give you the main point of the story once again, that Jesus on that Passover, on that Thursday, going into Friday, instituted the Lord's Supper as a new Passover. A Passover that will no longer, my friend, focus on just the Jewish people having gotten out of Egypt, away from slavery, but a Passover where all of us would get deliverance from the slavery of sin. And, my friend, what a wonderful way it is to observe how Jesus went about it all. Follow him. Follow the man with the pitcher, he said. He will take you to the room of transformation. Listen, friend, there is someone out there for you to follow, to take you to your place for our new life. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful, wonderful story that shows us it's worth giving up everything in the world to become a disciple, to follow you. And our lives will be lives full of your glory, peace, and love, and joy. Thank you again. To thee be all the praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. A final announcement. My new book, my autobiography entitled I Am Love, is now in print and can be ordered through your bookstore. So thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Please tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.